So for many, many years in our society, if we talked about God, even if people weren't Christian, we could expect that they would understand the same thing that we did about God. But I don't think our world is like that anymore. And in fact, as we've worked with Chinese people over many, many years, we've discovered that there are actually very different ways of understanding that question. So giving this talk today, I hope that you can understand a little bit about some of the issues that we face. In today's reading that we just heard, we see Paul spending some time in the Greek city of Athens while he waited for his friends to join him. Paul was never someone to just sit around in a cafe drinking coffee and reading his iPad. He's out there in the synagogues and the marketplace talking to people about Jesus. And he soon finds himself being brought by a group of men to the Areopagus to discuss his views and teaching because they wanted to hear more about what he was saying. Now, the Greek religion has 12 main gods who live on Mount Olympus, but also a myriad of other gods who share the world with humans. And some of these other gods are actually part god, part human. So there's a whole, they call it the pantheon, a whole group of spiritual beings. Each god has a particular area of influence and power, and you call upon a particular god when you have a particular need. So, for example, if you want to go to war, then you ask the god Ares to help you. And if you're going to have a wedding, you ask the god Hera. You better not ask the god Ares, because your wedding might turn out very different to what you expected. Now, this is somewhat similar, actually, to Chinese religion, which also has a multitude of gods and spiritual beings that are drawn from the religions of Taoism, Buddhism, and many, many folk religions. Each god has his own abilities, personalities, strengths and weaknesses, and flaws. Now, you might say, well, hasn't China been communist since 1949? Well, yes, it has. Aren't communists officially atheists, not believing in religion or gods? That's true. But we find that in actual fact, this atheism is just a very thin veneer over the top of Chinese traditional religions. So, in fact, as soon as you start having a conversation about spiritual things, about where the world came from, about the meaning of life, or about God, then this is where Chinese people go for background and for reference. Both the Greeks and the Chinese are coming from a very different place than we are, those of us with a Judeo-Christian heritage. They're coming from a very different place from Muslims, who also believe in only one God who is all-powerful and supreme. And that different starting point causes you to have a very, very different view of religion and the place of God or gods. I think today we face the same issue that Paul faced in Athens 2,000 years ago. When we talk about God, the first question in many people's minds, whether or not they actually ask it, is which God? There are so many possible gods we could talk about. Which God are you talking about now? When Paul stands in Athens, he was faced with many altars to so many different gods. What does he say in that situation? How does he differentiate his God and our God from all those other gods that were before him? What are the defining features? What are the distinctives? Paul says two key things. Firstly, God is the ultimate creator because he made the world and everything in it. And secondly, he is Lord of everything because he is Lord of heaven and earth. Paul wants the Athenians to be clear that the God he was telling them about is not just another God from their pantheon. He's not one of the many gods that float around helping and sometimes harming humans. He's not one possible choice out of many. Paul makes it clear from the very beginning of his speech that the God he is proclaiming is above all other gods. He's in a league of his own. He cannot be compared. There is no competition. As the creator and sustainer of the universe, he has ultimate power and authority. Every other being, whether it be human or spiritual, must fall in submission to him. The Greeks needed to understand this. In our ministry, we try to help Chinese understand this. And I think today, very much, we in Australia need to understand this. Now, Paul doesn't just make a blank statement that my God is bigger than your God or my God is superior. He points to key evidence that proves it. If you look in your Bibles at verse 24, Paul says this: he doesn't live in temples built by human hands. Our God doesn't need people to build a home for him. He doesn't need people to provide a shelter from him, for him from the weather that he created. Now, the Greek gods all lived in temples built by human hands, some of them humble, some of them massive and very, very impressive. Chinese gods also live in temples and shrines built by human hands. Some of them are just a little box inside the roots of a tree. And some of them are massive buildings with gold leaf roofs. The bigger the temple, the more face the God has. In verse 25, Paul says that God does not need humans to serve him. He does not need anything from us. He sustains the universe and our world. There is nothing that we have that he needs from us. There is nothing that we can offer him that would fulfill a need that he might have. But Greek and Chinese gods are very different. They all need offerings and service because, you see, they get hungry, they get tired, they get bored, they get annoyed. They need constant care and placating, or they become angry and vengeful and cause all kinds of problems. Because of their needs for these things, it's possible to bargain with them for the things that you want. You can do something for them, and then they should do something for you in return. A little bit like a business deal. Paul offers this contrast as proof that the God he is proclaiming is superior to the Greek gods, and what he said 2,000 years ago still applies to man and man-made gods in our world today. In verse 26, Paul says that not only did God create and sustain the world, but he orders the lives of the humans that he made. He created humans to be Jew and Greek, Chinese, European, African, and he determines the time and the place where they will live. God does more than just watch over the world he created. He is active in every moment, managing, sustaining, and controlling the world and the people that he created. In contrast, Greek and Chinese gods may have power, but it's very limited. For all the supernatural things that they might be able to do, there are still many things that they do not know, can't control, and have no power over. So for traditional Chinese people, this means that you have to choose your God very, very carefully. They all have to be competent in the area that you need. So in the same way that you wouldn't ask an army assault soldier for advice on your relationship, you wouldn't ask Ares, the god of war, to bless your wedding, and you wouldn't ask Taishan, or the Chinese god of wealth, to help you sort out a marriage problem. More than this, it's well known that these gods are fickle and their power comes and goes. So sometimes after you've done all the right things, you still don't get what you want. And in that situation, you just dump that god and move on to another one. In the end, it seems that these gods don't really have much power at all. And a lot of what they do comes from a deal, seems to just be explained as random good luck. In this worldview, Greek and Chinese gods are not approached with any sense of love or respect, but with fear and a cold sense of let's do business. What do I need to do for you to get what I want? I'm not really interested in this God. I don't really care about this God. I just want something from him. Sadly, for many Chinese, after hearing the gospel, hearing what God has done through his son Jesus, they approach God in this same way. Sadly, I think many of us can also be guilty of approaching God in a similar way. We ignore God until we need something from him. And then we come with tears and pleading, and we promise to be a better person if he'll only give us what we want and need. In verse 27, Paul shows us that God's purpose in creation is to reveal himself, and his desire is that people would seek him out and find him, because he wants to be found. Our God is a God who has revealed himself to us in nature, through his son Jesus, and through his word, the Bible. God wants us to respond to his revelation, not to make up our own story about him. God wants us to yearn after him, not to create our own gods of silver and gold and stone and wood. He wants us to know him on his terms, not on ours. If we are to seek out God and have a desire to know him, then we discover that there's a barrier between our sinful selves and a holy God, a barrier of our sin that we can do nothing about on our own. Then as we learn more about God, we discover that he has dealt with our sin by putting the punishment for it on Jesus when he died for us on the cross. So our sin is dealt with and the barrier is removed. We can approach God. We can reach out and find him. In verses 30 and 31, Paul tells the Athenians what they need to do. They should repent of their sin and believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. God, in his mercy, says he will overlook past ignorance. But now that the truth has been revealed, God expects us to make an appropriate response. What is that response? Well, some of the Athenians wanted to hear more. Some of them, we're told, believed. But some of them sneered and made fun of Paul because they couldn't understand what he was talking about. For Chinese, this is a fundamental truth that changes their whole perspective on religion. It turns their worldview upside down and changes everything they ever knew about the worship of a spiritual being. Sadly, however, as I said before, some of them approach our God with the same mindset they used for their traditional religions. They see God as a very powerful being, but as one possible choice of many possible other gods. When told there is only one God and he created the world and everything in it, sometimes the honest ones will ask, but what about all the other gods? God might be powerful, but can I trust him? Will he be fickle? Will he take care of me? Can I trust myself to one God, to this God? Sometimes they view God as a being who'd be really good to have on your side, really good to have on my team. And sometimes their approach is to try and work out what his needs are and to try and bargain with him. They misunderstand what we teach them in discipleship. And it can be sometimes hard to notice that. They become very diligent at reading the Bible. They become very diligent and attend church services and prayer meetings and many other things. But actually, all they're trying to do is earn merit with God. When a need arises for them, they need a visa, they need to pass an exam, they have a relative who is sick, they'll be very, very persistent in prayer. But sometimes the prayer that they're praying is, "Oh God, look at all that I have done for you. Won't you please hear me and give me what I want?" And for them, with their traditional worldview and traditional mindset, this seems to make sense. I do something for you, you do something for me. They don't understand. When they don't get the answer they want, then they drop God, complaining that he wasn't helping them with what they wanted. So what's the point? Sounds pretty terrible, doesn't it? But let's look inside our own hearts. Who is the God that we worship? Is he the creator of the world and everything in it? Is he the Lord of heaven and earth? Or is he a sweet old man in heaven who gives treats to nice and good people? Is the God we worship the God who doesn't live in temples made by human hands and doesn't need anything from us because he lacks nothing? Or is he a God who should appreciate all that we do for him? We read the Bible, when we pray, when we attend church, and especially when we put money in the plate and do other nice charitable things for him. Is the God we worship the God who has revealed himself to us in nature through his Son Jesus and through his word? Or is he a God of our own own creation? Maybe not silver and gold, but when we say things like, "I like to think of God as," or when we want to pick and choose what we will believe from his word in the Bible, when we want to define the world, ourselves, and God in our own way. If we do these things, then we also have a problem with our understanding of God, and that's not a good place to be. We need to remember that in the past, God overlooked ignorance, but now he calls all people everywhere to repent. That means the Greeks that Paul was speaking to. It means the Chinese who we are ministering to. And it means each of us as we sit here today and hear God's word. We need to repent of our sin for the times that we have made God in our own image, instead of worshiping the God who revealed himself to us. What can we do? What can we do if we're guilty of treating God as some kind of cosmic vending machine? Well, the Apostle John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we know that we can repent, and God is more than willing to forgive us of our sins. What about you? Do you worship the God who created the world and everything in it, and is Lord of the heavens and the earth? Do you worship a God who doesn't live in temples built by human hands and doesn't need anything from us? Do you worship a God who gives us life and breath and everything we might need, and who from one man made every nation and determines the times and places that they should live? If you do, then know that he has opened a path for you through the death of Jesus, that you can reach out to him, find him, come into his presence, and be part of his family. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive us for the times when we have created you in our own image. Forgive us for the times when, instead of understanding you from what you have revealed about yourself, instead we have chosen to build a God of our own making. Forgive us for the times when we feel that you should do what we ask because of all the things we have done for you. Forgive us for the times that we have forgotten that you created the world and everything in it, that you are the Lord of heaven and earth, that you created us, you give us breath and life, and there is nothing that you need from our hands. We thank you that in the past you overlooked ignorance, but we pray, Father, today as we come into understanding, that we might seek your, we might repent and seek your forgiveness, that we might fall before you and beg for your mercy, that we might love and honor you and seek to serve you in the ways that you wish to be served. We give thanks for all you have done for us through the death of Jesus and the new life that you can give us through his resurrection. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.